explain. You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
What do you actually need?
People tend to get stuck. I know that Emerson had said, we forge the very chains that bind us, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it seems to be true. It's almost like a man goes out and says, well, I want to make this so I can have a family, and then he kind of gets stuck in that thing, and then he's 88 years of age. He's still going into work every day. It's like, are you going to, on your deathbed, are you going to wish you went into work one more day, or maybe that you spent time with your offspring, you know?
Well, that's the reality, and here's what Paul writes to his disciple Timothy, and it's a really good word for all of us. He says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Mm-hmm. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into a temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them to ruin and destruction.
Who's the actor that put out The Passion of Christ?
For the love of money is the root of all kinds
of evil. The love of
and
money.
As some people craving money, as you just pointed out, Rhett, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
With many sorrows, yep.
Okay, so the principle here, I think, is getting our focus off of God and onto our material possessions will often produce pride and fear and also anxiety because when is enough, you know? And the reality is this, that the Bible teaches us to be diligent with what God has given us, and he will provide enough for our families as well as others in the community. And I love this Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Okay? So I think for us followers of Jesus, true wealth comes from the Lord. And Paul goes on to instruct his disciple Timothy. He says this, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up from themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so they will take hold of what is in life indeed. Now, this verse has an incredible principle, and I think we talked about this a couple days ago. Nobody can take it with you. You're not going to take any of your wealth or possessions with you. But according to this passage and others in the Scriptures, we can send it ahead. So, no, we can, because look at what Paul is saying. Instruct them to be good, to be rich in good works, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's something dynamic in God's kingdom that he recognizes people that can handle wealth, that are good stewards of wealth. And I think he gives us great opportunity all the time to say, can I trust you with my possessions? Are you going to use them for my purposes or for your own? And Rhett, you and I both know a number of people that have been blessed with the ability to make money. They've invested well. They're good business people. They're hard workers. And I have to say, Rhett, in my experience running a school project in a remote corner of Central America, we did this for 37 years. We've educated tens of thousands of Mosquito Indian youth and adults, and it all has been because many of our friends have taken this verse to heart. They have been successful in their businesses, and they've been very free to invest them in God's work. And I believe when I stand before the Lord and he says, Mike, look what we did with these kids on the Cocoa River. Come and receive your reward. This is what Jesus says often. Come and receive your reward. I believe that all those people who contributed to our school project on the Cocoa River will receive the same reward that I do. So
I agree.
So I think our attitude should be whatever possessions, whatever wealth God gives us, he does it so we invest in his kingdom. And when that happens, incredible things happen. So wealth is a good thing. And God gives wealth so that we can use it for good works and sharing it with those who are in need. So,
of course, if you own the wealth and the wealth does not own you, I think is the secret. And, you know, like, for instance, we may both know this individual. I know a billionaire. And when I was a younger man, like everybody else, I thought, oh, it'd be great to have $1 billion. I can tell you this. I know from living now these years that I do not have the wisdom to possess $1 billion. I'll tell you why. Because you can ruin someone's life if you give money to the wrong person. For instance, really trusting God is saying no matter what situation you're in, you're trusting him. For instance, I still have to work at my age. There was a time I didn't really have to continue working. Now I do. And I go, well, here I am late in life. But yet it gives me a challenge. I'm not making any money on this broadcast. I do not get paid a dime for being on the Christian radio station. But I am storing up, God willing, treasure of moth and rust doth not corrupt. Well, here's our magazine makes a little bit of dough to pay the rent. We're selling our friendship coffee. But I don't mind that I'm scraping by because I think God has put me here. So what I'm saying to the viewer or the listener out there is wherever you're, for instance, you're driving. Now, you can relate to this, Michael. Has this ever happened? I'm driving along and some little old lady slows down in front of me. Oh, my word. I've got to get where I'm going. And all of a sudden, we pass by a police officer who's taking pictures of people speeding. Had it not been for that little old lady, I would have a ticket.
Well, Rhett, what you're saying leads us into the next line that Jesus says in verse 25. He says, for this reason, for all the things that you just said, Rhett, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. So if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all of these things. But here's the key, which you just pointed out. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, okay?
For sure.
Don't you love this passage here, okay? So right now, Red, you pointed out, we're doing this broadcast. I'm coming over. We're spending hours a week talking with each other and talking to our friends out on the web and through YouTube and other Spotify and others. Neither one of us are receiving any sort of monetary compensation. But you invited me to do this because you and I love talking about these things.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be paid for this. Just to have a conversation and for us to actually think about and meditate on the things that we've reading in the scripture. And if anybody else picks up on some of the things that conclusions we've come to, some of the insights maybe that we've the understandings that we have. By golly, we are benefiting the kingdom of God in this.
Well, first of all, I've been thinking about this. It's a rare privilege. When I was on secular radio for 26 years, I came from living in the ghetto to being very prosperous for quite a while. And now things have happened with COVID and stuff. But you know what? I almost feel like, wow, this is really cool. How many people actually do something where they're storing up treasure and not getting paid? Now, we do have this new coffee company, so hopefully
forget the coffee. Right, if they want to order coffee, you're going to really enjoy it. I'm the roaster at our cafe, Real Coco Cafe Roaster in Rovi. It's going to be good coffee. Yeah. Enjoy it.
But the point is, at this point, I thought, wow, what an unusual situation to get to a point where you're doing something because you really want others to, you know, I don't, both of you and I, you were a fighter pilot. And I was a musician singing in nightclubs where people are smoking cigarettes and drinking booze. And we both got gloriously born again. And when you truly get born again, you want to talk about that which you love. Exactly. What do we love talking about? Jesus.
Well, we love talking about this exciting adventure that you and I are on, where God leads us. He gives us opportunity. We take risk. We step out in faith, and then, by golly, resources appear, things happen. I never, ever imagined that I would be going to Central America. I grew up living in Germany and Turkey. My dad was in the military. Then I lived out in the Philippines and Indian Ocean on aircraft carriers. I was a traveler, but I never thought I would go to Central America. And the idea of working with refugees and then starting a school project, I never had any training in that. But
same thing with me. I went to Haiti, and now on little food trips, missionary food trips. I tell you what, when I meet a Haitian now, comment se va, très bien, you know, Jésus remi ou, when Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. And I immediately have a connection and a love, and it's a bond that's really wonderful.
Well, the reality is this: there's a lot of people that haven't really embraced what Jesus is teaching here about not worrying, because God will take care of us. But when we just passed through this pandemic of COVID, 2000, 2001, 2002, anxiety gripped the world, and people were forced to stay inside. And then my friends that their parents live in Santiago, Chile, the military are patrolling the streets. They're allowed out of their apartment once a week to go to the grocery store. It was incredible, the lockdowns around the world and the anxiousness. And right now, 1 in 4 people in the United States are suffering from anxiety or depression. And
say that again, 1 in 4?
1 in 4, okay? And Jesus says, don't be anxious about anything. And why should you be depressed? Your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you even ask. So as I read these passages that we just read, the solution for anxiety is remember God and His promises. Remember how He's provided for you in the past. And I think here's the challenge for us, Rhett. Position ourselves to experience His presence, okay? And then begin to function as a member of the kingdom. Seek His righteousness.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Is one. We're in our Father's presence. His Spirit is with us. It is good to lift the name of the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. For His heart is overflowing with love for us, and His mercy we can never contain. Great love of all His faithful mercies and all that He has done. For who can match His kindness and who can count His works? Oh, let our praise continue till evening comes and close. And